I'm so thankful to just be a part of what God is doing here. And Jake is at a wedding, so he asked me if I would preach, and I'm real happy to do that. And Chrissy's praying that he doesn't go take a walk like the sermon we had last week, because he's out somewhere with no cell reception. So at any rate, I am blessed to see what God is doing through Jake and all the different team members here and all the different leaders. And I could not think of anything finer than what God's up to through you and as you yield to him. So I'm glad to be a part of this, and I'm glad that I got to hang around here instead of like some pastors when they retire have to go find another church. Glad you all let me stay here. So it's a good deal. There you go. So with that being said, we're in the middle of this sermon right here about salt and light. And it's the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew. At the end of chapter 5, you have a summary verse that's very, very important. We are told, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I can't tell you the number of years that I read that verse, and I thought, oh, man, how in the world could I ever do this? You know, there's got to be more to that. And I'm not just sure when it happened, but somewhere along the line, my head turned around and I said, this is the greatest offer in the world. I mean, God says, I want you to be like me. You talk about an offer. I was thinking while we were singing a little bit that my degree in college was in sales. And I could sell anything I could believe in. And I made a couple of presentations in college that got good grades because I could believe in my product. Folks, there's no better product than this. There's nothing better than God himself saying, I command you to be like me. And whenever God commands us to do something, he gives us the power to do it. And so convince yourself, and I'm going to try to convince you and me, that this is the best deal in the world, because our world has told us, and I think, what, Daniel, did you say, or somebody said, maybe it was Marcus, the morality police, you know, the morality team. That sounds kind of like dull and dry and boring, but life with God and life in God and life like God is the best thing in the world. So let's try to dig into that a little bit further. So there's two things, power and personality. Though if you're making notes, write down power and write down personality. Power comes first. To be like God means we have power. So it says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So when we are like Christ, we have his power. And so I'm gonna get a little personal here. I didn't do this in the early service, so I'm gonna get a little personal here. Please don't hear any pride in this. I work really hard not to have pride because I'm susceptible to it, all right? But there was a time when I experienced God's power in healing. And one of the things of God's power is to see healing take place. And over a period of about a week or 10 days, I saw three remarkable healings. And I had a part in them because I got to pray for what God was doing. Now, I'm certain I was not the only person praying, but I got to be there. And so I'll tell you one of them. There's a fellow who had a heart attack down in Midtown, Kansas City. And thank God there was a nurse behind him. She gave him CPR until an ambulance took him all the way out to MCI Hospital. That's how long ago this was. MCI was out in Eastern Independence before Center Point. And family member said, would you go pray for him? And so he was on a ventilator, not looking good. And I walked into his intensive care room and prayed for him. And there was no big, great anything, okay? Please don't hear that. I thought I'd better go visit him a couple days later. So I went back 2 days later and I looked for the man. And they said, he's not here. He went home. Not home to glory, but home to live out another 15 or 20 years of his life before he ultimately did die. God answers prayer. Why do I tell that? Because the closer you get to God, please hear this, the closer you get to God, the more you get a chance to be involved in healing people. Maybe prayer in an intensive care room or prayer somewhere else, or maybe it's through you helping somebody else get their life on a whole and a complete basis. It is your opportunity. So as you are like Christ, you can be enjoying the healing power of God. Can you get excited about that? I mean, that's a wonderful thing. Some terrorists blew up a building in Syria a few years ago, and it was all over the news. And I read an article about that, and the author said this: anybody can tear something up. It takes a real somebody to build somebody up. And so as you become like Christ, you can build people up, and they can experience God's healing. A second component of God's power is deliverance from evil. Jesus is in the delivering business, and we have a room full of people who have been delivered and set free. That's God's business. How does God defeat his enemies? He does so by making them his friends. And so there was a time when all of us in this room were enemies of God. We were on the outside looking in. We were estranged from God. We were separate from him. And yet he conquered our heart and he made us his friends. He brought us to himself. And so, another story real quick. I was with a bunch of guys up in North Kansas City. We were speaking at a church about what he was doing here in Independence. And they were taking me down little side roads. Well, I jumped out of that building over there on the second floor because the cops were coming. Great. And we're going to church now. So we were going down here. Yeah, there was a lady down here who really sold good drugs. Brian, you remember that. You were with me. Maybe that was where you were talking about. We went by there. So we got through telling all these crazy stories about what these guys did in North Kansas City. And one of them said, you know, they ought to give us an award for cleaning up crime in North Kansas City. Well, Jesus ought to get the award because he set people free from evil. Amen? As you are connected with God, as you are becoming like him, you can be involved in his ministry of setting people free. And you all do it. I love it. I see it all the time. You bring a friend. You work them through the steps. You bring them to a meeting. You bring them to church. You work with them in a small group. You sponsor them. You spend time with them. You reach out to them. And God comes and conquers their heart. And somebody who is engaged in evil is now engaged in good. That's how God works. All right? Let's not lose the point. The point is we can become like Jesus Christ. He wants us to be like that. And part of that is we have power. And part of that is we have power to heal and power to deliver and power to tell the story of God. Let's talk about personality for a minute. So here's the personality God wants you to have. This is his choice. He wants you to be full of love and joy and peace. Forbearance is a long word which means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, what's really interesting is when I look at that list, I want my wife to be like that, okay? I want my kids to be like that. I want my friends to be like that. So you all can be nice to me, and you can be good to me, and you can be kind to me, and you can be loving to me. God reverses it, doesn't he? He wants to put it in us. And so as you are like Jesus, you become more loving. As you are like Jesus, you become more joyful. As you are more like Jesus, you become more full of his peace and patience. I thought about patience. I said this in the early service. I'm not so sure I want patience, but everybody around me seems to want me to have it. You know? So maybe I ought to pray. Now, hear me, please. These are not qualities that I can pick and choose. Well, Lord, I like joy, but I don't want self-control. No, and they're not qualities that come as I have them like in a little paper bag that I got at the spiritual store. I went down there, hey, I would like to have a bag full of joy and peace. Could I have that, please? They come as a whole package. As God makes us like himself, this is our life. You with me? All right, so that's the offer. I remember one time making a sales presentation on controlled environment hog houses. And my professor had worked for Alice Chalmers, and this is before all the feedlots, and my professor told me these will never work. Well, now every hog in the world is in a controlled environment hog house. But I made a pretty good presentation, made an A on the presentation. He didn't like it because he didn't believe it ever happened. That's neither toy. This is so much better than controlled environment hog houses, folks. This is God himself saying, I want you to be like me. And I want you to know my power, and I want you to have my personality. Get with the program, he might say. Fair enough? All right, so this is the personality. How do we get there? Let's go. You ready? At the bottom of the triangle, in a minute I'm going to have you three things up there, and it'd be great to pull out your phone and take a picture, but don't do it yet. So, life with God. So the greatest gift is to be like God. The second greatest gift is to live with God. Have you ever thought about that? So let's just say Michael Jordan this afternoon called me up and said, Bob, I'd like you to come to Chicago and meet with, I don't know where he lives. I'd like you to come to Chicago and meet with me. I will send my Learjet down to pick you up, and you can come up to Chicago and spend the afternoon with me. You got time? What do you think? Sure. Those of you who don't know who Michael Jordan is, he used to play basketball. Okay. Yes, sir. So Michael Jordan's never going to call me. He doesn't know who I am and doesn't care. But God knows who I am, and he knows who you are, and he does care. And here's his invitation. I'll meet with you this afternoon if you will with me. I'll talk to you. That's his gift to you. Now, how do you do that? Let me give you some suggestions. Ray Martin takes a drive every so often. And he will spend maybe a half a day or a whole day just driving and talking to God. Pretty good deal. Bryce Young had a challenge by Coach Jake to spend some time in solitude, so he walked to work one day. Well, he lives about halfway up Nolan Road, and he works at Crown Center. And he walked all the way down. It took him 5 hours. He walked all the way down there so he could talk to God. Now, by the way, I'm not going to be doing that. I spoke a little bit a few minutes ago about one of our members who is currently fasting, and he is doing without food for an extended period of time so he can meet with the Lord. Gail talks about reading the Bible all the way through and communing and praying with God. Those are things that we all can do. What I would suggest to you, if you talk about an offer, the greatest being who has ever been or ever will be says, I want to meet with you. Take advantage of it. Right? Fair enough. That's part one. Part number two is a little more different. It's called willing obedience. After you have met with the Lord, you want to be willing, not willful. Now, how can I describe that? Willful is I have made my own map of the world. I have mapped out my life. It's based on what I have known in the past. It's what I'm currently experiencing, and this is where I want to go. Everybody here has a map. You know where you're going. And one of the hardest things in the world is to change that map that's in our head. It takes tremendous courage to be different and to change. And so willfulness says, no, this is my map, and I'm going to change the world, not my map. I was reading this last week about the Vietnam War, and the author who I was reading was talking about making maps. And he said that the people who started the Vietnam War had a map of the world that made the Vietnam War make sense. But when the Vietnam War was over, there was another generation of people who looked at the Vietnam War through a different map, and it didn't make sense to them. Does that make sense to you? And some of us have maps about our life, and we think, nobody's ever going to love me. I'm never going to be a success. I'm never going to get free. I'm never going to be anything. I'm never going to go anywhere. And you got those nevers, nevers, nevers. Or you got another crowd of people who say, if they only would, if they only would do this, and if they'd only do that. You know what you're doing, don't you? You're giving away your power to somebody else. If you're waiting on somebody else to fix your life, you're in trouble. All right? And so we have this map in our head. All of us do. And the most important thing you can think about in relation to God is to let him change your map. Okay? So why do we read the Bible? And why are we in the Sermon on the Mount? Because the Lord comes to us and he says, this is my map for you. You go, oh, man. I don't know about you. I read some of that stuff in chapter 5. I think, oh, Lord, please. And he says, Bob, please, back. Come on. Get with the program. And so he says, we need to be willing. Here's what God said in the book of Isaiah. If you are willing and obedient. You ready? If you are willing. Eric Gossie and I don't know how many times. We talk every morning on the phone. How many times a week does Eric say, just say, thy will be done. I'm practicing acceptance. Just say, okay. Now, I don't know that Eric bows because this is on the phone, but that's how I hear it. Just say, thy will be done. I'm practicing acceptance. I'm on usually on the highway when we're having our talk, and the traffic is horrible. Bob, just say, thy will be done. Practice acceptance. All right. So tomorrow you can say, Bob, be willing and obey. All right. I'll be waiting on your call. What about it? Be willing and obey. Be willing to let God write the map of your life. Be willing to let him do it. Trust him. Try it out. What you've been doing before hadn't worked so well. Try him. So he says, if you're willing and obey, you'll eat the best of the land. Guess what? If you resist and rebel, you're in trouble. You'll be devoured by the sword. So those are two things that are very important. Here's one more. You ready? So we have life with God. Don't miss it. I've said a lot of things. Don't miss it. Life with God. Stay with him. Live with him. Enjoy him. And then let God write the map of your life. Be willing to change. Be willing to change. Mrs. Hawk was a great saint of our church way long ago. She was pushing 100 when this story was told. And she had been able to move and go places and do things. Mrs. Herman, you're not quite her age, but you're close. She had a birthday, and you knew Mrs. Hawk and can appreciate her. Mrs. Herman celebrating her 89th birthday today. Visited with Mrs. Hawk. She was sitting in a nursing home getting ready to go to heaven. And here's what she said. I am entering in to a new dimension of God's grace. She was not fighting God over the map that he was drawing for her life. She was adjusting her life to the map that he had made for her. And if you can do it at close to 100 years old, you can do it at whatever age you are and whatever age I am, right? But then there's this third part, which is called the cross. And that's the term that the church for centuries has used to describe hard times. And so St. Teresa had a nun. She was the head of a convent. And she had a nun that was a pain in her side. And this nun just, she was horrible. And so St. Teresa, she was one of the many crosses she dealt with. She made a decision to be as kind and loving to this nun as possible. Teresa died. This nun was heard saying at her funeral, I think I was her favorite. So the cross may look like that, or the cross may look like other things. Matthew 5 has this to say about those cross experiences of our life. He says, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt and hand over your coat as well, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks of you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. We'll put our little triangle up there again. And I would really recommend that you kind of get a snapshot of that or draw it out on your tablet so you can remember this. I want to tell you a story, let me just talk about Josh Monk for a minute in the story. If anybody doesn't know who Josh was, Josh is famous at Maywood. A lot of what we have here at Maywood is because of his influence. And he was a legendary bad guy when he was bad, and he was a legendary saint of God when he was serving the Lord. And so I'm going to tell you just a couple of stories about Josh to kind of wrap this up and to bring it home as a possibility for us. Josh met the Lord, and he was very sick, and he said, God, if you'll give me my life, I will give it to you. And Josh was willing to stand on the things that were most important to him, so he stood on that. He was baptized, and then very shortly after being baptized, I'm not sure if it's the exact same week or the following week, some guy road raged him on 23rd Street. And you know, all the stuff that you do when you have road rage, words and yelling and hand gestures and all the stuff that happens when that takes place. And I happened to have lunch with Josh that day, and you could still see the steam coming out his ears. He was not used to being disrespected, and that guy needed to be really happy that Josh was saved, because he was headed to the hospital very shortly thereafter. So Josh sat down. He was still upset. He was still angry. And I said, Josh, when you're in school and you had a test and you got an A on the test, didn't you celebrate? Yeah. I said, well, you just had a test. You just had somebody who hit you in a spot which is your most vulnerable, and you passed the test and you won. Yeah. Amen. And that helped him a bit. So a few years down the road, he was really upset. And we were running out. For some reason, Scott, Josh, and I ran out to get the donuts instead of you or Dan. And so we went to the Price Chopper that, by the way, they provide our donuts and all the stuff, really good price. But so we were headed over there, and he was more agitated than I'd ever seen him. And this was one of those holy ground moments where I got to see into the heart of somebody who had been serving God. Somebody, he didn't give me any deal, but somebody had done to him all the bad stuff I just read to you in that Matthew chapter 5 passage. And I remember him saying this to me, two things. He said, Bob, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. And I thought, I know who you are, and I love having something to do with you. The next statement was, I know how to handle it, which meant that guy goes to the hospital and Josh goes back to prison. I know how to handle it, but I will not disrespect Jesus. Yeah. I could put you in my car and take you to the spot where that happened. And it meant a lot to me then. I don't tell that to a lot of people, but I can talk to you now about it. All right? What was God doing? God was making Josh like himself. Taking an enemy and making him a friend. That's what God does. Let me talk you through the process here. Josh had a life with God. He met him for real. He met him in the hospital. He met him one night when he was trying to sleep, and all of the evil that he had done played in front of his eyes. And he felt so horrible about all the people he'd hurt and all the harm he had caused. And it just clicked through like one after another, after another, after another. And then Jesus, in this dream that he had, came and sat down beside him in the old robe and everything and put his arm around him and said, you're my son. He got to know him personally and closely. He got up in the morning and he would pray for an hour, read the Bible and pray. I remember one Sunday school class, Stephanie, he said, you remember that? He said, you know, if I don't pray, I'm going back to prison. If Stephanie doesn't pray, she might say a bad word. He said, y'all, I need to pray. Y'all see that part? That was part of what God could do with him that allowed me to tell the story I told just a second ago. He was willing to do what God wanted. There'd be days when he would get up and he would say, God, what don't you like about my life? If he felt distant from the Lord, God, what do you not like about my life? And there was one day, God said to him, I don't like you listening to Kid Rock. And he had a Kid Rock CD, so he went all over the house trying to find the Kid Rock CD. Couldn't find it. Called up Amanda. She had it. So I said, you got to throw it away. So she went out the dumpster and threw it away. Willing obedience. And then that thing, the cross, where God puts us in a place where he doesn't want us to be there, but he knows this is the only way I can accomplish my purposes. Those cross, tough places. So what we're going to do is have the worship team come on up, Daniel. And I'm going to have prayer, and we'll have a number of people down here at the front. This is time for us to do business with God. God wants what I've just talked about to be yours. He wants you to know this and experience this and live in this. He wants it to be yours. And so if you'll do business with him, he'll do business with you. All right? Let's pray and then stand. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for what you've done with us and in us. Lord, win victories in our hearts today, I pray. Win in our lives for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.